Okay, today's daf is daf Nun Hey. And the Gemara says on the top of Nun Hey and Aleph, Lema Ketanai. Let's suggest if it's Tanai. What's a Tanai? If you look at the top Tosos there, Lema Ketanai, Imishim Avir, Imishim Gusha. The question before, when the Gemara wanted to know what was the nature of the Gezera and Eretz Amen, was it Dafka in the Gush, and the dirt, the mud, or is it even in the Avir, even in the airspace? Maybe that Machlokas is really a Machlokas Tanai. So the Gemara says, quotes a Bryce that appears a few places in Shas, Hanichnas le'eretz ha'amim, person enters the eretz ha'amim in a shida, in a tevun, a migdal, some type of box. So they're in the avir, they're in the airspace only, but they're not touching the ground at all. So Rabbi Matami, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Matahir. So Rabbi said this is Tameh because he assumes that that if a person isn't even in the avir, even in the airspace, even if you're not touching the gush, you're still going to become Tameh. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that one's tahor if you fly through the airspace in this box, because it's the gush that's Tameh, not the avir. So my law, the Gemara says, is all out. My law that Rabbi Savar Mishim Avira, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Savar Mishim Gusha. That's good for the machlokas, like we just explained. So says the Gemara, lo, that's not the machlokas. So you could explain it a different way. Whereas the Chuli Amma Mishim Gusha, everybody agrees that the Eretz Amim was Tame. This is five lines from the top now. Eretz Amim is Tame Mishim Gusha because of the dirt touching the ground. Mar Savar Ohel Zuruk Shmei Ohel. Umar Savar Lo Shmei Ohel. The question is a moving Ohel considered an Ohel or not? So he's moving in the box constantly. Is that going to be an Ohel? And therefore he's in the Ohel with the Gush, because below him that box creates an Ohel. So the Gush is underneath the Ohel that he's in, and he's going to become Tameh. Or moving Ohel would not be considered Ohel, and it would not be Tameh in the with the dirt.
Are we hold that it's always has to be a Asarat Pakim from the ground, or is that what the order is? There is no limit on that?
I don't believe for an Ohel. I don't think it has to be. If your person's in a house, this is much higher than Asarat Pakim, and still it's an Ohel.
No, I'm talking about the Avir.
You mean how high does the Avir go?
Yeah.
So I believe we say it goes Alarakia. Well, we didn't say that. I presume when we say Avir, I mean there's no limit. Now, it's a good point. We're asking certain halachas. It's only 10 tefachim. When it comes to Rishis Rabim on Shabbos, it's only 10 tefachim. They talk about tchum above 10 tefachim. The Gemara in Erevin talks about that. So we have 10 tefachim sometimes in airspace. You are correct. But with regards to tumah, let's say a person's passing over a base kvaros, people in the airplane. So that's you've ever seen this picture of like a kohen? I don't know if it's sure it's real or not real. They put themselves in a bag in the airplane.
Because of the airplane.
Because if it's certain planes fly over cemeteries, or possibly cemeteries, so it goes out of the rakia. So they assume that a airplane.
That's definitely.
Okay, that's by tumas mace though.
Right.
This is a tumas erta'am. It might be different. But I don't think I think we assume it goes out of the rakia if you assume it's an avir. Okay, so again, that's machlokas. Again, whether or not a moving ohel is considered an ohel or not. So, wait a second. Actually, I was wrong how I interpreted it. I was wrong. So, if you look at Tosfos here, I just said the opposite way. If you look at Tosfos, it's in the long one, Vahatanya, but that Hatanya is all broken up into different pieces here. Oh no! This is going to be the other shot. Fine. Let's look at the Mefarish then. The Mefarish is Lo Dechuli Amam Mishum Gusha. That's the first narrow line down in the Mefarish. He says Aval Hacha B'Hakamifkli. What they're arguing about here, the Rebbe the Metamik Kesaver Ohel Zarek Lav Shmei Ohel V'Al Lo Havi Hefsek. I was incorrect. It's not that the box is becoming an ohel. The question is whether the box is protecting him and being a chatzitza to protect him. So Rebbe holds that the box does not serve as an ohel. It doesn't protect him. And the avir, he's in the avir now, completely exposed. And that's why he's tameh. Ukamad mahalich mamish agave karkadami. Which is, it's hard to say though. It's as if he's walking mamish on the dirt. If the whole point is dirt,
right, it's not touching.
So there's nothing to be mafsik. I don't understand that. And just read the other last line of Rashi, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Savar, Dishmei Ol, it's considered Ol, and it's mafsik.
I said the Tumah's only Bokav Ole.
That's only if it's Avir, I thought, though.
It's Tentfa.
Only if Tumah's Amim is a din in the Avir do we say it's all over.
No, but let's say regular case of a mace.
Okay.
Right? A regular case of a mace that's in a... It's in a coffin.
Okay.
So we said if there's 10 tefachim between the mace and the top of the coffin, We said that...
Even there's one tefach, even, I think.
Oh, is it one tefach?
I thought. I mean, there's a discussion elsewhere. But if it is
whatever
a...
Whatever it is.
If it's a chatzitza, right.
A chatzitza, then we said it holds correct. The tumah in.
Right.
Right? So, over here, if it's mishum gusha, it's because of the bones that are on it. And therefore, it's like there's a mace. It's like there's a mace lying in the gush. So, if you hold it's an ohel, it keeps the toma down, just like it would.
But even if you assume that it was avir, so if I'm in a box, a chatzitza that's an ohel, wouldn't that protect me from the avir as well?
Here, according to this, it's talking about. I think I don't know if it's the same. It's talking about that. Umedubar kishakelim hengdolim machzikim me'arba'im sa umada she'az einam mekablim tuma ve'av chotzi b'fnei tuma. Seems that it's not an issue of it's issue, the issue is more like he is inside a kli.
Bruno, I agree it's a chatita, but what I'm bothered by is if it's mishum gush.
Anyway.
I thought the gush meant dafka, the ground in the car. I agree to Ms. Mace is what you're saying. It goes out of the rikia. That's how it works. But I thought gush versus avir means you have to mamish touch the dirt, or it's out of the rakia, it goes up into the airspace. That's now the Gemara is saying differently. Maybe I misunderstood it then. That
if it's avir, it doesn't matter how well protected you are anywhere.
That's what you have to say.
You're breathing in chutz la'aretz, and there were a whole time of the abundant is don't be in chutz la'aretz air.
It's even if you're in a bubble.
Even if you're in a bubble, you're still breathing air of chutz la'aretz because they made xera don't be there.
Ah. So that's what we're saying. So if it's mishim gush, then it's like a regular tumas mace, and tumas mace go dal rakia. But you can always protect yourself with a box, a bubble. But if you use some avir, then there's no protection. And being outside Eretz Yisrael, and no matter what form you're in, you're going to be tamid. That's how we have to understand it then. Everyone's on board with that? Anything in the article on this?
There is. It says, מילשלה מפרש משמע לכאורה שמדובר כשיש בטבע פתח מלמעלה או מן הצד ונכנס שם אוויר ארץ המטמא. אולם, יש אומרים שאף אם השידה סתומה מכל צדדיה, טמא הוא, אם גזרו משום אווירה. כי סוף סוף מצוי הוא באווירה של ארץ המין באף אוויר
Okay. Right, that's what he's saying. Okay, fine. So that's how we have to understand it.
Right.
So initially the Gemara thinks it's really Mishum Gush. And the question is, which means when it says Gush, it means you don't have to actually touch the dirt, but the Gush creates this Tuma all the way above Adler Akia. And the question is now, and when you're in a moving box, in a moving Ohel, will that Ohel protect the person or not? That's the Shiloh, completely different discussion. So the Gemara says no. V'hatanya, doesn't the Braisa say that Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda Omer Teva Shehi Melea Kalim, the box is full of kalim, clothing, utensils, v'zarka al pnei hames, and you throw it on top of a dead body, ba'ohel, within a ohel, becomes in the same house, bais, as a mace, tamea, that box and all the kalim within are tame. Vim hayisa muneches Torah, but if it's placed down, it's Torah. So what does that mean? So if you look at the Mefarish here, the Mefarish says, V'hatani Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Amar Deva Malei Kalim Vizarka Al Gavei Meis Bal Tmeah V'chol HaKalim Shebesoch, all the Kalim are Tamei there within the box, Alma Kesavar De'ohel Zarek Lav Shmeol L'Havi Mafsi Klaus. And if you throw it out, it's a box. The box is supposed to protect the Kalim. If you throw it over the Meis, so once it's being thrown, even though ultimately we'll stop, but once it's thrown there, it's not protected, and the tumah goes right through the box and it's matame everything. But if it's placed down, it's stationary, that serves as an ohel and does protect the kalim from within. So what we see from here, though, according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, he assumes, again, normally before Rabbi Yosef Yehuda thought that a ohel zrok was considered an ohel, a moving ohel was an ohel and will protect the person inside, but here he's saying that it won't protect the kalim that's inside, so it's a steer within Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Again, he's the one who said before that the moving box does protect the person. Here he says the moving box does not protect the kalim. So that can't be the way to understand the machlokas. Ella, the chuli alma mishum avira. It's really because of the avir, and therefore it would seem to be that even in a chatzitza, even if you're in a chatzitza, it shouldn't protect you. The avir, breathing the air, even if you're chatzitza, is going to be a problem. So what's the machlokas? Umar savar came into lo shchichi lo gazu b'rabbanon. Umar savar afagav de lo shchichi gazu b'rabbanon. Interesting. So we have a klal throughout Shas. This might be one of the few exceptions. I don't remember any other exceptions. But whenever something's uncommon, whenever they make a gzeira, they weren't gozer in places that weren't shchicha. That wasn't on the map for them. It wasn't part of the initial gzeira. So for that reason, since no one throws, no one moves in a box, who goes in a box other than Sari Menu in that particular situation, and Dina? We don't place people in boxes. So what's the idea here? So it wasn't shchiach, so they weren't gozer, and the person in the avir in a box is tahar. But the other opinion thinks that no, even though it's not shchichi, they were still gozer.
The svara is that a person in a kli, he is tahor, and the one gozer what? That if it's moving, it's not enough. What's the gezer exactly?
The gezer was that anyone who goes into the avir of Eretz Amim is going to become tamer.
Right.
Now, when they were gozer, it's not like gzeir every single case, it's cases that are likely. Cases that are unlikely, like a person in a box is a very unlikely scenario, so they weren't gozer in very unlikely cases. And that's a cloud we have throughout gzeiros.
Okay, so nothing to do with the Noel.
Nothing to do, it's just that
It's an inuit of gzeiros. When Chum makes a gzeira, let's think of another example we have by gzeiros.
No, because here the only thing I would understand is that they weren't gozer that the case that he's moving it's not all, but otherwise he's still on the air.
That's fine. He's in the air, but the air itself is not really tamei midiraisa. The air is pure air. The Chacham made a gzera. It was a gzera. They didn't want you to leave Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
So part of the gzera, they just included cases that were normal, regular cases. They didn't think of like when you write an insurance. So when something wild happens, that wasn't on the insurance policy because it was completely unexpected. UFO comes.
It would seem to me the other way around, that it would have to make gzera to take it out of the gzera, as opposed to
in the lumdas, it's when you have to follow the rabbanon, right? The rabbanon say something's asur motor. Is it that they're saying nechefzo is asur motor? Or is that there's a chiv on you as a person to follow whatever the rabbanon tell you? It's not that they made their heir asr.
Right.
It's made that
to you
you're a chayiv to follow what the rabbanon say, and the rabbanon say it in a case where it's not heir z.
Can be looking. It seems to be an interesting Mishnah Melech here that quote about exactly how to understand this machlokas here. And the way the Mishnah Melech understands this, just looking at Tosis for a second here. Look at Tosis for a second. Tosis Dira Maschil, V'i Bais Ema D'chuyama Mishnah Avira. We don't have that girsa. Maybe it should be low, but Tosis explains here, Gazru, V'taima D'Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, D'metaher Af Kinami Gazru Al Avira, even though there was a Gzair on the Avir, Hainu Ba'omed Al Geshe Shel Eretz Amim, that's if a person's standing on a bridge. That's a normal circumstance of getting Avir. O Nichnas Bekaron B'Sfina, you're in a wagon or in a boat. The Shchichi Lahalik, that's a normal circumstance of Al Beseda V'Shida V'Teva Migdal, Lo Shchichi Lo Gazru. Okay, so apparently the way the Mishnah Melech understands this machlokis is that we have a klal when it comes to a gzera that they're concerned that a person might violate something. They create a siyag. They create a siyag that not to have, let's say, don't put meat and milk on the same table, lest you eat them together. So that's a siyag that comes says you can't have meat and milk on the same table. Now that gzera, there might be some unlikely circumstance they didn't include in that because it's not a concern it's going to lead to that. So they let an unlikely circumstance to be permitted. Now the question is, when you have a gzera that's not a siyag, but a gzera is in order to create a zechus. So in this case, they created an iser, a gzera, not to leave Eretz Yisrael because they wanted you to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Not because something might happen bad in Eretz Amim, but because they wanted you to have a special zechus of Eretz Yisrael and staying in. It wasn't a siyag, it was to strengthen you, to give you something positive. The question is, when it comes to a positive gzera, do we have the same klal of miltis lo shchichi lo gazru? So that's how Mishnah Melech understands this machlok. Does this fit into the normal category of takanas of the Chachamim? Okay, so back to the Gemara now. So the Gemara says, again, the machlok is again, whether or not we apply the klal of the lo shchichi lo gazru by Rabbanan in this case or not. So the Gemara says, v'hatane, don't we have a braisa? The braisa says it's a tose. Sorry, I skipped a line.
No, b'nichusa.
Oh, b'nichusa. Oh, thank you. Okay, v'hatan b'nichusa. This is coming as a support for us. Ha'nichnas l'Eretz Amim, person who enters into Eretz Amim b'shid, the table of migdal in any form of box or protection, tahor. But if he goes in a bakarun b'svino b'skaria, he goes in a wagon, a boat, and what's in the skaria? It's a... A toron?
A masted ship.
Aha, okay, toron, that's right. Gemara and Babasa, okay. So some type of ship here. So in those things, he's going to become tame. What's the difference? Either way, he's in some type of protection. There's a chatzitza. So the din is, that's the rule, that when they were only goes or the avir in a likely circumstance, like a wagon or a ship, but when it comes to an unlikely circumstance, being brought in through a box, then they weren't gozer. Gemara now says, V'bai Seima, another way to explain this machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Yehuda is as follows. V'bai Seima, hacha shema yotzi rosha v'rubo l'sham pligi. There's a concern whether he might stick his head or most of his body out. So while he's in the box, he's completely protected. The ohel is going to, so I'm assuming this V'bai Seima is working within the gush line. Really, it's the din of gush. Now am I...
Or it could be that they both hold that logos rabbanim el stilo shlicha when you're in the shade of and I guess you're right, because once you're saying logos rabbanim, so why they didn't create a new
exam. Right. So I see quickly, I see that according to both Rashi and Tosfos, the understanding it's be everyone really agrees it's Mishum Gush. And Mishum Gush, the tuma goes bokeh l'rakia. But if you're in an ohel, chatzitza, you're protected. And even when it's a moving ohel, everyone agrees it protects you as well. The question is there a concern? The guy might be curious and stick his head out of the box, and then he's going to be exposed to the tumah. Was that a concern? So one of them felt that, Rebbe felt that there's a concern he might stick his head out, so therefore we said not to go into a box. And one goes into the box, we're going to consider him tumah. And the other one thinks he's not concerned. He's in a box because he wants to be protected. It's not going to lead him to sticking his head outside the box, and therefore he's tumah.
We said before, everybody holds Ozark Lav Shmei Ohel, and therefore you'd be tumah Mishum Gusha according to everybody.
Right, this is the opposite now.
So, yeah, I mean,
right. That's what the Mefarish says it.
Still have to answer up the Brisa, because we brought a Brisa before. We couldn't understand anybody holding or Zark Shmei Olel. That's why we had to reject that interpretation of Yisim Rebuda.
Ah, so I imagine Toz is going to ask this question, but he doesn't. That's a good question, because we had that statement again. Everyone agreed, at least Rebuda Yehuda was the one who's... Right now we're assuming this understanding is that an Ohel, Zark Shmei Ohel, it's called an Ohel. A moving Ohel is considered an Ohel and it protects you. And Adam pointed out, the Bryce we saw earlier in the name of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda said, if you threw the box of Kalim over the mace, those Kalim inside will be Tameh, because it's right. Not considered an Ohel. So that's Akasha. How can we make such a suggestion here if
because
it goes against...
Because I think it's changing Mishum Gusha.
No, it is going. It's changing Mishum Gusha, but you still have to square it with the Mefurish Brysa that clearly says that it's not... There's two assumptions in this answer. Assumption one is Mishum Gusha. Assumption two is that Ohel broke is Shmei Ohel. That and that second assumption that's considered an ohel, a moving ohel is an ohel according to both the binyans, goes against the Bryce that says Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says it's not an ohel.
Why do you have to hold that a moving ohel is an ohel?
Because that's the only way to explain this gemara. If you look at the Farish here, and Tosfos
says, if you say that it's Mishum Gusha, maybe not.
You know, but if you say Lav Shmei Ohel, then what do you mean? And then the machlok is about whether they stick their hands out. He's already tummy, because you're holding Lav Shmei Ohel. He's already tummy.
But you think it's Shmei Ohel even if it's Mishum Gusha?
Yeah,
it would be. We said before that Mishum Gusha is still metame even.
It works like.
So what's the difference between avir and gusha?
That's what we were saying before. So mishum gush, the tumah goes throughout the air, but you can be protected if you're in a chatzitza. If you're in an ohel, you're protected. Okay. Avir will not be protected
even,
by an ohel.
Even ohel, because
it goes through it. That's how the gzera works. How they instituted the gzera. So that's a fine question that I'm asking. I don't know the answer to it. Let me just see if anyone asks that question here. Okay. Fine. The Gemara now says, V'hatanya, another bidichusa here as a support for this last answer, is Rabbi Yosi B'Yehuda Omer, Hanichnas l'eret ha'amim b'sheit shida tevo migdal tahor, Ad sheyotzi l'sham rosho arubo. He's tahor until he sticks his head out. So Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, if you don't stick your head out, though, then you're tahor. He's not concerned with sticking the head out. If a person in Lamaisa does stick the head out, then it ain't a chanami, he'd become tameh. But it's not a chashash, it's not a gzera that we're concerned of. But according to Rebbe, the upset would be, even before a guy sticks his head out, it would be tameh for the reason, as we said, we're concerned as a chashash lest he do that.
We are forced to conclude that there is a difference between a trunk flying through the air, which is in no way connected to the ground, and a trunk being carried by porters or packing.
And what's the difference? Sorry, did you explain what the difference is? We're just forcing this. There has to be a difference.
it's less of an ohel.
Resting on the ground, it is sufficiently anchored to the ground to be considered a tent and insulation from tzumah.
So when we said before, but didn't we say Zarko also there? Zarko al pnei hames?
Zarko is more of a problem, he's saying.
Right, which would seem the other way around.
But Shehida Tevel Amigdal is...
Even though it's on the ground?
Zarko is more of a... It's more the... we're saying that by Zarko it's considered to be... It's considered to be
tamei. So for lanuach, is that why?
It's less of an ohel.
It seems that according to the art scroll, the fact that he's more connected to the ground is a kula. It makes him right.
That's why I didn't get that.
Is that what it's saying?
Well, that makes it enough of a trunk, enough of a tent, so he's protected from the tumah.
Well, what would seem maybe is that Zarko. Stationary? Zarko maybe is that self-kosof is going to end up falling.
That's what I would think. It's so full, but. But even if it falls, though...
Maybe, let's say, they throw it to another guy.
No, but even if it falls, though, then it's actually better when it falls. Remember that muneches? The Gemara says when it's muneches, it's better. That's right. The Bryce itself made that chilek. The Bryce said when it's being thrown, it's tameh. When it's muneches, it's tahor.
Muneches, right.
So stationary is actually better. What's the svara? Maybe an ohel is supposed to be, it's supposed to be a house of some sort. So
right,
when it's stationary, it's...
Right, that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
It makes sense. Because oil is something more permanent.
Right. Okay, there we go.
Yeah,
beautiful. Gemara now says of the two dots, maschil mona. So this was the case. That was the Mishnah at the end of Nindal and Rabbis.
Yes. Says all this.
Yeah. Okay. Beautiful.
By the time Rabbis read it all, three what lines down.
Ah. Okay. Amazing. When we saw this, let's read this inside then. V'hatani that one. Hatani de Masayle. Yeah.
V'hatani. Yeah. In the next line down.
Okay. But one more time. V'hatani Rabbi Yosi be Yehuda le'el zark teva melea kalim al pnei meis tmeya. La mishum de kasaver oil zrok lav shmei oil. No, not because he doesn't hold to this concept. He does hold to moving oil as an oil. Ela kamen de zorko kamapik le mitar. Oh, once it's moving, it's being thrown. I shouldn't say moving. Once it's thrown, it's not considered oil. Umash vile toras kli becomes a kli, not an oil. Uliolam kasaver oil zork zrok shmei oil. Really, it is called an oil. The katani b'seifa im hayamunechas torah afagav de orcha de metaltel. Even though it moves, a movable box is okay. A thrown one that's completely disconnected from the ground would be. Would not be considered rather a kli. Okay, the article just took that and explained it a little bit further. Okay, the Gemara now says that's the two dots maschil amona. So this is going back on that Mishnah here, that if the Mishnah yesterday had told us three different scenarios when a nazir might become tamei. And the one scenario was where he was a safek tuma, beis pras, er ta'amim, all these different cases. And the nazir in that case would not be megaleach on any of those safek nazirs. And he would still, though, be mazeh shlishi of shvi. He would still have to have the tara process, but it would not ruin his first days of count. So let's say he counted 15 days and became into er ta'amim. He'd have to wait. The 15 days would go on pause and delay. He'd be tar for seven days, and then after 7 days, continue counting from day 16 and on. And maschil amona, he'd count right away. He wouldn't ruin everything. And he also, on day 7 itself, he would count, and he wouldn't have to wait until day 8, like the Reisha, the previous Mishnah said. So the Gemara says now, Amar Rav Chizda, lo shanu el b'naziris mu'etis. It's only true by naziris mu'etis, a small nazir, which I presume means 30 days nazir, the smallest amount. Aval b'naziris meruba, misalik nami slikalam. But if they say long naziris, then it would be removed. So what does this mean? So if you look at Tosfos here, Tosfos 5 wide lines down, Amar Rav Chizda, lo shanu d'yemei sifro v'yemei gamru ein olum lo l'minyan nazirus. Then when he becomes a Mitzora, the days that he counts as a Mitzora, it doesn't count towards his Nazir's days. Ela bin Nazir's Muetis, that only refers to Shel Shloshim Yom v'Nistar bin Time. If he's keeping a 30-day count and becomes a Mitzora, he goes on pause until he becomes Tara for the Mitzora, but those days don't count towards his Nazir's. Ula'achar shenisrape v'gilach l'sof yimei gamro uch'shiyiglach shenis achi yimei sifro ozvaday in yachol l'galeach l'sof shoshim mitchias yimei nizirus. So he certainly can't start, he doesn't complete his nizirus from day one of his 30 days from when he started nizirus. V'hei yimei tzar miminyan, and the days of tzaras are part of the count, that's certainly true. Sharei ein gidol seir apachos mishloshim yom, because the hair, after he shaves the hair from the Torah, he only has 15 days left. And in order to have a cutting of the hair for the purpose of nizirus, you need 30 days of growing the hair. So it sounds like, for technical problems, really his Nazirus should be complete after 30 days, including the days of Mitzorah, because the problem is, since it's not considered taglachas, unless you have 30 days of hair growth, we have to wait another 15 days. or no, however long he was mitzorah for, another 7 days. No, you need 12, 30 days. Aval ben Nazirus Meruba, a longer Nazirus is Tosos, Shenidra, Kol Kach Yamim. He took such a net there. Sha'achi made Tsaraso, Ika Shalashim Yom, so long as after he becomes his tower from the Tsaras, he still has another 30 days remaining. Shalashim Yom, Acha Shigilach, Taglacha Shenis, Litsaraso, after shaving his hair from Mitzora, then the Shapir Ika Kede Gil Sar, then there's enough days to grow his hair long enough to Mekai in the din of Taglachas for the Nazir. That's Rav Chista's Chiddush.
So the Gemara, yeah. So it does by 30 days Nazir then. It does destroy the Naziris.
No, it doesn't. It puts it... he doesn't have to... no, because let's say he has only 2 days in. It's destroying Naziris means you need a full 30 days. You don't need a full 30 days. You need an additional 15 days only.
I thought he's saying you need a full 30 days to get your hair to grow.
Yeah, but no, the way it would work, though, is let's say you had 5 days of Naziris, then it became Mitzora. Then afterwards it finished. Even though you only need 25 days for your Nazir, so you have to add another 5 days.
You have to add another 5 days. That's
the same thing, though, as if it was completely Nistar, also if it was completely Soser. Also, what's the relevance of counting the first days or not? The difference might be what we said yesterday is whether you start on day 7 or day 8. It might be a 1 day difference. According to this Mahalach, since it's not Soser, the day you become Torah, you could continue counting. But the previous way, your mom is so sad, then you have to wait until day 8 until you bring the karbanos. Maybe that's the difference. So the Gemara says, on the bottom now, of Nun Heyman Aleph, 3 lines up, Masiv of Shravia, I guess. That's his name. Yeah, Shravia. Masiv Rav Shravia. Maschil Amona Miyad. You begin to count right away after person becomes Torah from his tzaras. Vein mevatel behenes ha-kodman, and it doesn't ruin the count of the previous days. So my, b'mai, what are we talking about? What's the Naziris that we're referring to here? Ilema b'Naziris mu'etes. If it's talking about a Naziris mu'etes, a 30-day Naziris, well, how could you start counting right away and conclude the first days? Kabay gidil seir, you require 30 days of growth. So the guy was Nazir for 5 days, then became a Mitzorah, then was Torah. He can't just count right away 25 days and include the first days because you need 30 days of growing the hair. So this can't be referring to a Naziris Muetes, Ella. It must be, says Amud Beis, long Tosfosim here. Ella Lav bin Naziris Meruba. It must be referring to a long Naziris, the Katani Maschil Amona Miyad. It says you count right away. I see. So, initially Rav Chisda's understanding was you include the days of Yimei Chiluta, the Yimei Tzaras. Let me just map it out for you. Let's say the guy's 100-day Nazir he took upon himself. And he was a Nazir for 7 days and became Tahor. And he was Tamei for seven days, let's say. So seven in Tahor, Nazir.
We're talking about now Mitzorah.
Yeah, so 100-day Naziris, he took 100 days, 7 days he's a Nazir, then becomes a Mitzorah, and he's Tamei for 7 days. Then after, now day 15, how many days does he have to do? Does he have to do now 86 days? Because you include the 7 days of Mitzorah as part of his count?
In Meruba only.
In Meruba?
Yes.
Or do you have to count 93 days? We don't count, that's just a pause.
Right.
So beforehand, we assumed you have to count 93 days. If Chista said... You don't have to stare. If in this case,
no, I think the opposite. Rav Chisda said that on Muetes you don't count, but on Meruba you.
Meruba, I think it meant that you don't have to add any more days afterwards. You don't have to add, but you don't count towards either. Oh, no, you're right. It did count towards it. So what's the Shaila here then? Oh, the other way around, I'm sorry. Chista said that we did count the days of Tzaras, and this sounds like you maschil umon miyad, you start counting right away. Sounds like you count right away from wherever you left off, but not including the days of Tzaras. Chista included the days of Tzaras, and this Brisa, I'm not sure if it's all clear, that might be part of the answer. This Brisa apparently seems that it does not include it. So if you look at that, the Mefarish there, Nun Hamid Bey, it's that top Mefarish. He says, El la b'nazir smurba, referring to nazir smurba, uvakamar maschil mona miyad, begin right away, may osa yom sh'omid ba, that day that he's standing on, u'mashim losum yamim sh'lefnei l'chaluta, and he's going to count, he's going to complete the days that he started prior to tzaras, ava yimei chaluta, the days themselves of mitzara, miha ein olam lo, don't count towards the day. So that's the kasha.
Right, that's the kasha.
So the Gemara says, hu mosiv lahu mefarkle, Rav Shavia asked the question, he also answered the question. What was his answer? V'nazir es bas chamishim yom. We're talking about Nazirs of 50 days. The Yosef Esrim, so he counted 20 days of Nazirs. Then this Yalde Beit Saras, then he became a Mitzora. The Megalech Saraso, and then he shaved his hair. So that's, let's see, that's another 7 days, let's assume. Let's make sure I'm doing the count here. And then Hadar Yosef Tlasim Yomin Dinazir. Then he completed 30 days afterwards of his Naziris.
Right, because if you would count, if you would get Taras after 20 days, let's say 7 days Taras, he would only have 23 days left.
Exactly, he wouldn't have the Gidel Ser that you need.
So
that's a particular case where he needs to add a 30 days afterwards where you don't count the Yimei Chaluta. But not because Yimei Chaluta don't count, they do count. It's just for the other technical problem of you need a 30-day Gidel Ser to cut your hair. But fundamentally, the days really counted, though. The last 7 days that you're counting, you're really not a Nazir anymore. You're just doing it for the Gidul Seir. But since you keep it for the Gidul Seir, then the Einach Hanami have to keep all the halachas of a Nazir.
Right. But our Mishnah is... But we still hold our Mishnah is talking about Nazirus...
Muetes.
No, not Muetes, right? I think Meruba.
No, I thought you said our Mishnah was only talking about... that included it.
If it's Moestas, then you would need Gidlo Seir, so you couldn't say that Olim, right?
No, our mission said that the Yimei Chaluta did not count towards it.
Right.
It did not count, so that's only by Nazirus Muetas that the Yimei Chaluta don't count.
Right.
Okay, the question, do we do this next? Yeah.
No, but so here is saying that what? He's here is saying that our Mishnah must be talking, according to Rav Chisda,
we say it didn't count on the Mishnah, we just said it's not so.
According to Rav Chisda, Nazirus Muetes, Nazirus Meruba goes, I mean, you count it. So according to Rav Chisda, our Mishnah is talking about, wouldn't be talking about 30.
Right. Well, it's implied from the Mishnah, because the last line of the Mishnah says, Harei Elu Olin Lo.
According to Rav Chisda, anything over, he has to be talking about that he doesn't have 30 days left over in our Mishnah. It could be a long Nazirus, but it always has to happen when he has less than 30 days.
Correct, and then you have to add on.
And
then you
have
can't
add on.
Right.
That will be the.
The last line the Mishnah was talking about the Zav and Zava and
Mitzorah.
The May.
Heskera, where the Kohen had, had him wait a little bit. So it sounds like Yimei Chiluta, where he's actually Tame, Yimei Heskera is where we're trying to figure out, see what's going to happen in the next week. Yimei Chiluta, when there's a decision made, he's definitely Tzaras. That would seem to say that's the first part of the Mishnah where it's not Ololo. So that Rav Chisda said, when the Mishnah implies that it's not Ololo, that's Yimei Chiluta, that's only when it's a Nazir Muratas, where there's not enough days afterwards to have 30 days, so then we don't count the Mitzorah days. But if there's enough days afterwards, so then we would include.
So again, but in the Mishnah, according to Rav Chisda, so if it's talking about Nazir Muletas, you would still need 30 days after.
Correct, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, what?
Just the Ein Soser as a Kohen still is troubling me. It's not Soser, but you still need 30 days.
So right.
Is your Nazirus over after an earlier time?
Well, I think it's day 7 versus day 8. That was the discussion, remember?
That's what you said.
I think that's...
Maybe it's just that you have to fill this tonight of the lachas, but you're not a nazir anymore after a shorter time. Singing the sosers and the other one day.
Maybe, I don't know. Okay, I'm not sure. This next kasha, the Gemara, seems to go halfway down the next element, so maybe we'll just stop here then. So.
Yeshkoyach.
Yeshkoyach to you guys. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Sunday, 6 o'clock, right?
Sunday, I'm not here this Sunday.
Okay.